listening to the Jackie Daly Show. And I have to, before I start this next segment, remind you, I am not a prophet, a prophetess. I have no clairvoyance that's any more special than anyone else. I don't just keep pulling rabbits out of the hat and being right about thing after thing after thing by accident. I want you to remember, I was one of the first people to point out to you that Hunter Biden was involved in foreign deals that were sketchy at best. And I pointed out to you in particular that these weren't just shady deals where maybe he's trading on his dad's office, which you should never do. You definitely drift into areas of illegality there if you're not careful with what you're doing. No, these were energy deals. These were oil and gas energy deals in Ukraine and in China. Now look, this is a free market. Americans can trade. They can do deals with any country they want that's not on a government prohibition list, okay? So it's okay so far as it goes, but I want you to clearly understand these weren't just regular deals. Two things. Dad was vice president at one time, chairing the Foreign Relations Committee, and poised to become president to make good on big deals, all right? So right away, all kinds of ethical red flags go up. Well, for me, for my purposes, what was most important was that the Biden agenda could not possibly have been more anti-American energy, oil, gas, coal, everything, unless it was like solar and wind. So why is the Biden family warring against U.S. fossil fuels officially, while advising, boosting, promoting, and profiting foreign oil and gas companies? This is what I'm talking about. That's all I've been talking about. You know, it happens every day that American oil and gas companies sell oil and gas to other countries. We export all the time, including to China. Things like natural gas liquids or whatever. Frankly, that's perfectly legal. It is not a problem. The problem I have is that this family wants to destroy, with every policy possible, our own oil and gas. Forget about his 9,000 leases. I've talked about this to him blue in the face. Those 9,000 leases are very deceptive for a number of reasons. I don't even have time to go into all of it. Some of those leases don't even have, you know, economical oil and gas on them. Some of them will not be drilled because they're not in the sweet spot. Whatever. But the point is, all of that is upstream. Upstream. If you don't have pipelines or something to move that resource to market, it doesn't matter if he has 900,000 leases. It doesn't matter. So he's saying, look, I'm giving you a little upstream leasing up here, but there's no way to get it to market or have it refined, which is the downstream. So it doesn't matter. Those are empty words, empty promises. Please understand. But there seems to be no objection in the Biden family to helping out foreign oil. You know, so it's climate change agenda out one side of their mouth. And let's make a lot of money on oil and gas across the ocean when we think no one will notice. After we've destroyed their competitors, the United States, the biggest oil and gas producer on Earth, when times are good. Do you see what's happening? You see why I'm angry? I don't care if Americans want to do business with China. I really don't. Or Ukraine. Well, things have gotten a little different lately, but certainly back when these deals happened, you know what? People did it all the time. Big companies, small companies. That's not so weird. That's not the problem. The problem is what looks like corruption. And when you're in government, you have to avoid even the appearance of corruption or impropriety. So, as you know, Biden sold nearly 1 million barrels of oil from the U.S. Strategic Petroleum Reserves to a Chinese state-owned company that Hunter Biden was invested in. The Blaze Media reported on this, as did so many others. But this is the point. And to kind of get into, you know, more of the details, basically, despite what we're suffering through right now with high gas prices, Biden sends more than 5 million barrels of oil from our strategic petroleum reserves to foreign countries. Again, if we weren't in an energy crisis, you know what? I'd have no opposition to this country sending oil to other countries. In fact, I want to be the Saudi Arabia of the world. I want them dependent on us rather than the other way around. I'm cool with that. The problem is, this is the strategic petroleum reserve. Remember when, first of all, the reason we have it is because of the 1970s experience with the Arab oil embargo. The Arab countries got mad at us, so they decided they wouldn't send us oil and gas, oil in particular. Therefore, there were rationing and gas lines everywhere. And people said since that time, we don't ever want to be in that position again. So we need to at least have a strategic reserve. We need it for situations like that where there's geopolitical economic warfare happening to punish us, or a real war where, you know, you need something to fall back on to run the country should there be any disruption, sabotage, whatever it is, whatever it is. But what it's not used for, what it should not be used for, is to help out with the price of gas because of bad policies the president chooses to implement and not repeal, by the way. I've been saying for a while, I've been adding up his executive actions in the agencies. So far, I've counted about 87 policies that are hostile to oil and gas production in this country. So many. And you don't even hear about most of that because it doesn't happen in Congress, which is like a theater. It happens in an executive agency. So, for example, his new proposed rule to make it easier for states or tribes to object to energy infrastructure like pipelines. I mean, has he learned nothing? And we're in the middle of a war, for crying out loud. I just think there's almost zero understanding. Either he doesn't understand or this is purposeful. There is evidence that he and his advisors think that high energy prices are a good thing because they'd like us to use less, because they find that to be green. So, seems a bit intentional. Moving on. In April, the U.S. Department of Energy announced it was releasing 30 million barrels of crude from the U.S. Strategic Petroleum Reserve. The so-called emergency sale is conducted as part of a coordinated action with allies to support American consumers and the global economy in response to Putin's war against Ukraine. As I told you on the Chad Prather show and elsewhere, you know, war is inflationary. That's absolutely true. There has been inflation from the war, especially because Russia is a major oil and gas producer, one of the top three. Also, Russia and Ukraine are both top grain producers. You know, they can feed the world, or part of it. And essentially, that part is Putin's fault. But the rest of it? What about all that inflation that happened before Putin ever even began lining up his people at the border of Ukraine? What about all that? Where did that come from? The answer is it came from those multi-trillion dollar spending bills. And this is not hard. This is not hard. Just this morning, I heard that Democrat Larry Summers was saying the exact same thing. You know, he's kind of Mr. Economist on the Democrat side. And he said way back then, you can't write these trillion-dollar spending bills and expect there to be no inflation. I mean, this is like economics 101. I studied economics in undergrad. This is textbook stuff. This is easy stuff. For anyone to pretend like they didn't know this would be the natural result, don't believe them. Don't believe them. That is not possible. It's too basic for them to have not gotten it. So, understand the sale that just took place happened despite the Strategic Petroleum Reserve being at its lowest mark since 1986. And please understand, President Trump had been filling up the Strategic Petroleum Reserve because prices were so low back then. He's like, taxpayer, this is a great deal for you. I'm going to fill it up right now while the prices are low. Otherwise, you'd pay far more to fill it up later. Very smart. So Biden inherited a very wealthy, healthy Strategic Petroleum Reserve and has chosen to just blow it. Exactly what do we fall back on in this country? Does anyone know? Okay, it's my duty as a fair and balanced voice to tell you, the Department of Energy did have 126 bids from 16 companies for that 30 million barrels. And so, the point being, they want to tell you that the company that Hunter was tied to got the money fair and square. Or got the oil fair and square. Okay? And then Hunter denied being involved with them anymore, saying, look, stop looking at this because I don't really own the thing anymore. Well, this is a private equity firm he founded or co-founded in 2013. It bought a $1.7 billion stake in Sinopec Marketing. According to the Free Beacon, the company is called BHR Partners. And the New York Post reports BHR is primarily owned by Chinese investors, including the state-controlled Bank of China. The lawyer for Biden said, for Hunter Biden said, that he no longer owns any interest directly or indirectly in BHR or this weird name you can't pronounce on purpose, Scania Telus LLC. That's Biden's personal company. However, the Washington Examiner says that he's still listed as partial owner of the firm, and the Chinese Business Registry has, China's National Credit Information Publicity System, as of Tuesday, continued to identify Scania Telus as a 10% owner of BHR and list Biden as the only beneficial owner. You know what? I'm going to trust the Chinese more than Hunter Biden. How about you? I trust the Chinese more than Hunter Biden. Any day. Really. So, all right. Again, that was reported in The Blaze. I must get a break. You're listening to The Jackie Daily Show. Jackie Daily Show. And before I move on from Hunter Biden and his business deals to promote foreign oil and his dad's work to destroy U.S. oil at the same time, they're competitors to foreign oil. I will point out, thank you to my trusty producer here in the studio. You've seen a lot of racy, sizzling items come off of Hunter Biden's phone lately. Do you notice? This is probably some grand distraction from the real issue, which is what looks a whole lot like corruption, the real issue. Let me tell you something. People do this all the time because there's a segment of the population that cannot focus on a substantive issue if you throw out sex or drugs. All right? They just run off like a hunting dog that doesn't chase what it's supposed to be trained to chase, but runs off, you know, chasing the wind. I mean, some people cannot focus. Remember Monica Lewinsky? Half the people don't even know why President Clinton was run through the impeachment process over the Monica Lewinsky scandal. They're like, what's the big deal? He had sexual relations with a woman in his office. What's the big deal? Well, no, what he did was allegedly, and then going through the process, lie to a federal grand jury. That was the issue. But half of America, at least, could not focus on that super boring, eyes glazed over ethical issue somewhere in the statute book or in the ethics book. They can't be bothered with stuff like that. You know, so for them, it was all about a blue dress and a cigar. So now, I think the Biden team is leaking the saucy stuff in the hopes that people will be diverted for their attention to that, instead of looking at the fact that Hunter Biden is not exactly Mr. Green. He is overseas promoting oil and gas for foreign companies, the competitors to U.S. oil and gas producers, while his dad is doing everything he can to destroy U.S. oil and gas through his 87 policies or proposed policies in the executive agencies. And it reminds me a lot, actually, for those of you who are over 35, you might remember this. It reminds me of when the Dixie Chicks went to England, did a concert in the middle of a war, and ran down the president, talking horribly about the war effort, and also George W. Bush, who was our president at the time. And They thought they were going to do that in England, overseas, and no one here back home apparently was going to find out about it. Well, everyone did find out about it, and their fans, many of whom happen to like the president and support the war, or even have family fighting in the war, were outraged that they would run down the country and the president in a time of war. It was pretty upsetting. People staged protests. They stopped going to their concerts. They would have events where they would throw Dixie Chick CDs, back when we had those kids, into a pile and run over them with tractors and stuff. And people would cheer. So what did the Dixie Chicks do? To change the subject carefully, and they're young ladies, so there's a sure way to do it. They posed naked on the cover of, was it Rolling Stone magazine? And wrote words on their body that said, like, free speech, and blah, blah. It's like, excuse me, ladies, go hire a lawyer to explain to you what free speech is. Free speech is these protesters running over your CDs in a demonstration. They're speaking. They're expressing an opinion. Just as the chicks express their opinion in England, as is their right, frankly, in this country or that one. And George W. Bush was asked about it. And I remember he's like, well, those gals can say whatever they want. And he walked off. A free speech problem would be if George Bush locked them up for saying what they said, or tried to penalize them somehow, or fine them, or whatever. He couldn't have cared less. He's the president of the United States. Nobody cared. But what do people remember about this? That the chicks got naked on the cover of a magazine, okay? Right? So, oh, it's Entertainment Weekly. Pardon me. Thank you, Mr. Producer. So, whatever. I'm telling you, this is how some people change the subject. And it works. If it sizzles, the press will report it. So it can be a great distraction from whatever in the heck trouble you're in that week, Hunter Biden. So, I mean, I don't think this is a coincidence. How fortunate for the current president that his son is an endless font of material that is distracting from underlying issues. Because I really don't think we've ever had a first child so colorful. And I am a student of history. I would have a hard time coming up with, you know, Chelsea Clinton didn't give that kind of material to Bill Clinton. No, he had to look, he had to do it himself. Okay. He had to come up with his own antics, frankly, because his child seemed pretty straight-laced. I don't know. Remember the Bush twins? One of them got caught one time drinking a beer and doing something she shouldn't have. Big deal. Billy Beer. Was it? Oh, no, no, no. There was no brother. I'm getting whispered in my ear. There were two. No, no, no. You're thinking of Jimmy Carter. I'm talking about George W. Bush's daughter, one of them. Totally minor, unimportant alcohol-related deal in, like, college. Something that either everyone has either done or their child has done. Or their grandchild did. Nobody cared. It's not even worthy of scandal. But Hunter, I think he's racked up more Kodak moments than all first children put together. And just is the endless source of distraction for Biden and his party. So, yes, thank you for team. I was tipped off to that during the break. Like, you know what? This is kind of a distraction. I wasn't even planning to talk about his photos and videos, his many photos and videos. It's much better than his artwork. But yes, to remind you where we started here, the point of all this is to distract from the real issue, which is that his dad sold part of our strategic petroleum reserve to a company in China. I don't care if it's Chinese or anywhere else. The fact that Hunter Biden was invested indirectly is the problem. That's what they don't want you to know about. Senator Chuck Grassley, who's kind of known as like a level-headed, fair guy, reacted. He said, quote, President Biden reportedly sold oil from American reserves to China's Sinopec, which Hunter may still be tied to via his financial ventures in China. If the report is correct, that's outrageous. Senator Johnson and I highlighted these connections to communist regime in our 2020 report and bank records. Grassley tweeted, quote, at a time when Americans must pay record prices at the pump, Biden should not be selling our strategic oil reserves to communist China, he added. This misguided, harmful action is the latest example of Biden's failed energy policies and needs further scrutiny, especially if his son's China business can benefit, unquote. And if you would like more on this, in September 2020, Grassley and Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin released a report. It was titled, quote, Hunter Biden, Burisma and Corruption, the Impact on U.S. Government Policy and Related Concerns, unquote. You'll recall the White House has continually dodged questions about this. I recall seeing Hunter on a video being interviewed, and they're like, excuse me, is this your laptop? He's like, I don't know what. I was on drugs. I don't know. He didn't deny it. It would be kind of hard to not know that emails with your business partner's names on them isn't your laptop. I think I would recognize a series of emails with people I do business with on a regular basis as either being mine or not. But he was very noncommittal in claiming them. But I find the lack of denial interesting. So, as you know, the New York Times has walked back reporting on Biden's laptop. This was a story that was hidden from America before the election. And I think a group, was it Media Research Center, did a poll and said, if you had known about this laptop and this alleged graft or corruption or alleged bribery, would you have voted for Biden? 17% said no. That's a big deal. It's a really big deal. But the story was shadow banned, the New York Times playing cover for Biden. And now, as you might know, they made bombshell admissions about the Hunter Biden laptop, saying, yeah, maybe there is something to this now that the election's over. And really, I think they just find Biden to be a liability. And they would love to see him gone now, because there is no way to put lipstick on this pig that is this administration. I'm not calling President Biden a pig. I'm saying the administration's policies, there is no way to shine it, okay? There's no way to dress it up. And so I think they're ready to move on. And I'll bet you the Democrats don't move on to Kamala. That's my prediction. There will be a dark horse. They will discard the entire ticket next time. I don't have any inside information. That's just my prediction. Let's see if I'm right. And again, I'll have to assure you when I am right at that time that I'm not a prophet. You're going to start believing I have special powers, but I don't. I'm just paying attention. I'm not a prophet. I say it again. All right, going to break. This is Jackie Daly Show. You're listening to the Jackie Daly Show. Okay, true story. Just very recently, I mean, like in the last week, in the Netherlands, Mick Jagger, the lead singer of the Rolling Stones, one of my favorite bands of all time, bar none. I know that betrays some horrible character flaw in me, but I love them. I do. I'll bet I have 100 Stones songs memorized. Not just the words, every beat, every bass line, every everything. Okay, so they were in the Netherlands, and Mick Jagger yells out during the concert something like this. I will butcher this this language, which is not my own, okay? Something like this. Zijn er ook Baron, he asked the crowd. And that meant, are there any farmers in the house? Because he's given a shout out to the Dutch farmers who truly are providing the model for how farmers across Europe can protest against the green agenda, which threatens to put them out of business. And understand, the Netherlands is actually the second largest exporter of agricultural products. Let's see, is that actually, you know, animals? Second largest exporter of food overall after the United States. You have to understand, this country is half the size of Indiana. Let that sink in for a second. the Netherlands is half the size of Indiana, and yet is the second largest exporter of food overall. That's amazing. It's the largest exporter of meat in Europe. And experts say this is because of their embrace of technological innovation. How many times have I worn myself out trying to warn you all of food shortages coming? I mean, so many examples. All of these mysterious events happening at American food plants, whether it's explosions, fires, two of them, the property hit by planes. Just ridiculous stuff. Poultry and cattle being lost by the thousands or even millions in the case of poultry because of strange diseases or whatever. All these bizarre events coming together. Of course, war in Ukraine, which is a major grain producer up against Russia, a major grain producer. Baby food shortage. Now we're hearing of a dog food shortage. We won't even have that to eat. And at this time, the Europeans decide they want to hit their farmers and make it impossible for them to produce food. Does that strike anybody as impossibly stupid? Like, can we really believe that this is done by intelligent people who have everyone's best interest at heart? So Jagger's given a shout out to these farmers. And, you know, he's been at it for like more than 50 years. He's not a political guy. You don't last that long by wading into political fights. Of course, he's kind of at the end of his career, but then people have been saying that for 25 years. But recall, my recollection is that Jagger actually had been accepted to the London School of Economics. Mick Jagger's a smart guy. He is no clown. And he didn't do that. Instead, he chose to lead up this rock band called the Rolling Stones, which turned out to be a very smart move for him. He wrote a song called Hang Fire, which I'm told is a protest of the British welfare state. I'm not sure I believe that story, but I'm saying Jagger's a pretty smart, level-headed guy. He's not Mr. Let me go bow down to the woke god. He doesn't have to. He's kind of been one of the few consistent people who was like anti-establishment in the 60s and 70s and remains anti-establishment, which is very costly in these days and, you know, day and age. So I was very impressed, frankly. And remember, President Trump always uses Rolling Stone songs before his events. If you go to a Trump event, right before everything gets kicked off, you've been waiting now for like an hour in the crowd, they start playing, guess what? Play With Fire by the Rolling Stones. Which is weird because it's not an upbeat song. It's not like a rally song. It's a very, you know, slow, serious. It's a warning to a girl. Don't play with me because you play with fire. So it's an unusual choice of songs. It's not like Start Me Up, which you would expect for a rally. But the point is, I always marveled at that because I thought, I wonder why Jagger hasn't asked Trump to not play his songs. Because so many others have. Do you remember? Dee Snider from Twisted Sister told Paul Ryan, you're not going to play, we're not going to take it. And Pink Floyd called down somebody. I can't remember now who started it, for playing their songs. I mean, most people don't want to get political if they're a rock star. But apparently, Jagger doesn't mind. And as Michael Schellenberger says in this piece I'm looking at right now in the New York Post, you know, if you've lost Mick Jagger, you've lost the world. Like, if Mick Jagger isn't with you, since this guy's like Mr. Commercialized, you've lost the world. Schellenberger, I'll remind you, ran for governor of California as a Democrat. This guy who's writing this article won a Time Magazine Hero of the Environment Award. He's an environmentalist for life, went to live in the rainforest to save the rainforest. He's the author of Apocalypse Never. And one of the few Democrats I have supported in recent years. I was actually very hopeful for him because he's such a smart, kind, charming guy. I got to meet him in California not long ago when he was running. And he's just a trusted voice on both sides of the aisle and truly the best that California could have hoped for, given what they had to choose from. Because, look, I love Schellenberger. He's a great guy. but he doesn't have a lot in common with me politically. But he's right on these environmental issues. He calls out what's real and what's not real. And so again, this is his article, Good for Dutch Farmers for Fighting Back Against a Government Bowing to Environmental Radicals. Goes on to explain, people in Germany, Poland, and Italy followed their lead. But the government's poor treatment of their farmers has been shocking to everyone. I didn't know this till Schellenberger reported it. Apparently, the prime minister called the protesting farmers a-holes. Here we go again. This guy's like the Lori Lightfoot of Europe. It's humiliating. And said, it is not acceptable to create dangerous situations. And yet, apparently a Dutch police officer, not a farmer, inexplicably fired on a 16-year-old boy driving a tractor. And luckily, he was not hurt. But what is this all about? Essentially, the government is cracking down on the use of nitrogen on the basis that nitrogen spurs climate change. So, there's a report out that says the majority of the Netherlands nature preserves have nitrogen deposits that are 50% higher than they would like for them to be. So, this is what they're after. The country produces four times more nitrogen than the European average, and that's because of their intensive animal agriculture. As I mentioned to you earlier, largest exporter of meat in Europe and the second largest exporter of food overall in a country a size of, you know, half the size of Indiana. That's amazing. That is amazing. So this extreme pullback, they want to cut in nitrogen, the government does, of 50% by 2030. And that would require a livestock reduction of one-third or more. You hear what I'm saying? They want to produce one-third less meat at a time when the world is starving. Does anyone care? I mean, apparently, the farmer's response is that the model is off because anytime that you measure near seawater, you overmeasure nitrogen calculations. And here's the deal. In a country half the size of Indiana, almost all of it is near seawater, right? It's not that, it can't be that far away. I mean, Indiana is only what? 300 and some miles across? So, anyway. And as is so often the case, they're tackling a problem that already has been brought under control or is heading dramatically in the right direction. Apparently, the pollution they're trying to curb has already declined 70% since 1990. 70% since 1990. And the farmers say, we can do all kinds of things to do even better. And that means diluting the manure with water, injecting it to the soil, washing down the agricultural areas, etc. Since 1960, the Netherlands has doubled its yield while using the same amount of fertilizer. I'm going to say that again. Since the 1960s, the Netherlands has doubled its yields while using the same amount of fertilizer. Meaning, according to Michael Schellenberger, the environmentalist, it's hard to not conclude that politics and the green ideology, more than science and reason, are driving the government's decision. It's very sad for the farmers, it's very sad for the Netherlands, and it's especially sad for all of the people who are expected to starve this year. We have, I think, an estimated, 350 million people who are not going to have the food that they need this year because of the war and because of inflation and because of supply chain issues and everything else. Now is not the time to be cutting back on food production. It's super dangerous. It's a deadly policy. And remember, it's always the people in the third world who get hit the hardest, the developing world. You know, you and I will probably live through this. I'm not so sure about the 345 million people facing starvation, up from 276 before the Russian invasion, says David Beasley. Those stats are from David Beasley, executive director of the UN's World Food Program. And I'm out of time. You're listening to The Jackie Daly Show. Yankee Daily Show. And continuing on this topic of the Dutch farmers being quite dramatic in their protests against the green agenda, which seeks to cut their nitrogen production by 50% by 2030, which would require a third of their agriculture be decimated, which is devastating since they are the largest overall food exporter in Europe and the second only to the United States for food overall in a country half the size of Indiana. Amazing. The European farmers say, we are not slaves. And they and the Germans lined up at the border, shut down highways, even blocked off airports, whatever it took. This inspired protests also in Italy, Poland, and elsewhere. And I want to remind us all that this is not the first time that we have seen these kinds of protests. Remember the French yellow vest protests from a few years ago? That was over skyrocketing fuel prices. And that was before there was a war on. That was before the COVID breakdown of the supply chain. This goes back a long ways. So the French have already been down this path. And obviously the second biggest story, I think, as far as protest is Sri Lanka. You saw hundreds of people, maybe thousands, storm the president's residence, start lighting fires. The president jets out of the country, like jets out on a military jet, reportedly to the Maldives. If I were him, I'd keep a low profile. This guy had been the darling of the World Economic Forum. You can see him giving his little speeches and everyone patting him on the back. Because what he was supposed to be, or his government was going to become, was the model for sustainable farming. Organic farming and all this. You know, look, I have nothing against organic farming at all. I have nothing against sustainable farming of any kind. In fact, I like it a lot. I personally have my own beef with synthetic estrogens and pesticides and herbicides and all that stuff. I've railed on about it for years. But if you're a national leader and your policies are going to decimate the production of your country's agriculture or whether it's plants or animals, listen, you can't mandate that people cut off their resources. He made a very bad decision. Now people in Sri Lanka are shopping in the dark. And guess where else they're shopping in the dark? Where else? I told you about Target not long ago in Texas saying, sorry, everybody, no power here, move along. So Target is losing business, right? Texas, if you want to continue to be the number one state for attracting business, you'd better not cause businesses to have to close down and forego all that revenue because you can't deliver power to them in one of the most energy-rich states in America. True story. True story. July 7th, 2022. A friend of mine tried to go to a restaurant for lunch in Waco, Texas. And there's a sign on the door saying they'd be closed until 5 p.m. So at 5 p.m., my friend returns and asks why they were closed for lunch. Turns out they were closed due to the Texas brownouts. It's happening again. Did you see the announcement by ERCOT, the Electric Reliability Council of Texas, telling Texans this past week to conserve energy during peak hours? Why? Because there's not enough power, that's why. And they said there is, quote, no available market solution to the problem. Don't you think those are interesting words? No available market solution? If you've lived in the state for longer than a year, you remember a time when there was an available market solution on the Texas grid. You remember a time before Targets and restaurants shut down because there wasn't enough power in the state of Texas. This is all due to bad policy. 10 years ago, this would have been unheard of. Even 5 years ago. But what's happening is the population is exploding, both legal and illegal migration by the millions across the southern border and from elsewhere in the U.S. They're like economic refugees coming here to not have to pay, I don't know, California's 13% income tax in a time of economic crisis. They're fleeing for their economic lives, trying to preserve their retirement accounts and their bank accounts and what little bit they have left. So all of this is pouring into Texas, and at the same time, Texas is increasing the percentage of the grid devoted to wind power. Just as now, Germany has introduced a bill to make themselves 100% renewable by 2025. Did you hear me? 100% renewable energy by 2025. So Germany thinks the solution to their reliance on the Russians for 40% of natural gas is to instead rely on the wind to blow when it feels like it and the sun to shine in Germany. Okay, Germany. Have you been there? I have. Potsdam is not exactly Sun Valley. It's not called the Sunshine Country for a reason. Not a lot of sun in Germany. I've been there. All over the place. As a tourist. Germany sits on top of all kinds of natural gas. This is another self-inflicted suicidal policy. We'll see how the Germans will put up with it. I mean, even 5 years ago, before any of this craziness got started, the Germans were paying so much more for their power compared to the rest of Europe because their leadership, like Gerhard Schroeder, remember him? Just insisted they jump headfirst into being a leader in solar energy, which tripled or quadrupled their energy bill because these renewables are so expensive. And then after Schroeder gets them reliant on the wind and the sun and Russian natural gas, right, a frack ban happening in Germany then, now he shows up as the chairman of the board of Russian energy companies on which the Germans are reliant. Is anyone noticing this? Does anyone care? Okay. Germany's going in exactly the wrong direction. It almost seems like no matter what happens in Europe, the German leadership will not get it right. They are the poster boys for bad governance. Historically, over the past 100 years, it doesn't get worse than Germany. Except maybe Venezuela. Okay. You know what? I don't like talking like that. I wish the Germans, who are so smart, everyone knows it, I wish they would choose right. I do. I wish they would get this right. I wish they would revert back to reliable energy, nuclear, like the French, natural gas, like the US and others. Please, Germany. They import American coal and hope that no one notices. Like, they do all these press releases about how they gave up coal and shut down their coal plants. And then in the back door, they're importing American coal secretly. Come on. Come on. By the way, I tweeted some videos from Ecuador. There are massive protests also going on in Ecuador. People don't pay attention to South America, which is too bad. You know, it's a very resource-rich country or a continent. They have a lot going on down there. And so why is an Ecuadorian protest in the same vein as the Europeans not worthy of coverage? And these are very large, visually impressive protests, and no one's covering it. The point is, all of this bad policy on energy and inflation or monetary policy, it's all the way down to Ecuador. As I told you, it's the people in the poorest countries that get hit the hardest. So keep your eye on South America. It's Sri Lanka. It's Ecuador. It's the Dutch. It's the Germans. The Polish. The Italians. Was the French in their yellow vest protests? This is happening everywhere. I think you're going to see more and more and more of it. So we're just getting started, right? It's only July. What happens when the harvests don't come in the fall? As we know, they're not going to, or at least back when the war first started, as one example, between Russia and Ukraine, the cost of wheat was going up 5% a day the commodities price. And then there's a report that this is the worst quality crop in 16 years on top of all that. So for those of you who listen to me regularly, I love you. That's why I'm telling you now. Plant your own gardens. There are fall crops you can plant if you missed out in the spring. Stockpile food, non-perishables, emergency food. Stock up on your hunting gear and your fishing gear, please. Be prepared to feed your family. Know how to live off the land. Know how to forage in your local area. I have lots of books on this. Foraging is very different, for example, in Dallas area than it would be in West Texas or East Texas, further east. I mean, every climate is different. Learn what you can eat. I'm sorry to sound so extreme, but this is the world we live in. And the policymakers just keep making it worse and worse instead of better and better. Got to go to break. You're listening to Jackie Daly.